It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails. Stephen Trull, a former Marine, wrote in response to our program on what happened in Haditha, the Iraqi city where U.S. Marines allegedly killed 24 unarmed civilians. He says he wants a full investigation to find out how this happened, but he added, it's also important to find out how this does not happen every day. I believe the reason is, by a vast majority, our soldiers and Marines are a highly disciplined, morally motivated force, most of whom would sacrifice themselves before hurting an innocent. Anyone who participated in this or helped cover it up must be severely punished to satisfy justice for the victims, but also to exclude the majority who serve with honor and justice in everything they do. We also talked last week about what's being described as a hot job market for college graduates, but not everybody sees it that way. I'm a middle school science teacher who will be out of work in 12 days, wrote Alyssa Wilson in Portland, Oregon. It strikes me that this upsurge in the job market is incredibly skill-specific. Computer tech and health profession jobs are in high demand, whereas education and other fields are still suffering from a lack of available positions. The word on the street fallacy that the job market is stellar is very misleading, and she added, if you know of anybody who's hiring qualified teachers, I'd love to hear from you. In that same program, one caller referred to what's known as Generation Y, roughly those born after 1980, as, quote, Generation Y Bother. John Greenbaum said, if that's true, there's good reason. Generation Y has grown up watching their parents having to work more hours to keep household income stable while corporate America has retreated from benefits and pensions. Salaries for young grads have been stagnant, but the cost of housing, health care, and college have exceeded the rate of inflation. Generation Y is more in debt than any other generation, and they face very little in the way of job security. Without the context, one could be left muttering, those darn kids. We ended the week with a look at some of the slogans used to promote cities and tourist destinations around the country. Think, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. A lot of you suggested your own snappy slogans for your favorite places. Randy Stebbins listens in Cincinnati, Ohio, and warned, I know a couple that has three children over 12 plus a toddler. They don't believe it when people say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. And if you're listening to us in Connecticut, you may be hearing the show for the first time. WNPR Connecticut Public Radio kicked off a new schedule of programs last week, Talk of the Nation included. To follow up our conversation on slogans, we've called Ted Lindquist, a lifelong resident of Connecticut. He works at the Irving Robbins Middle School in Farmington and is what we'll call an unofficial state historian. He joins us now by phone from his office there. Nice to have you on the program today.
It's nice to be here.
So what are the slogans for Connecticut?
Well, one of the slogans is we are known as the Constitution State. The first fundamental orders were written in 1638, and they are considered to be the first written constitution in history.
And I've also heard Connecticut referred to as the Nutmeg State?
That is a blessing and a curse in some ways.
Uh-huh.
Nutmeg during colonial times was sold throughout Connecticut as Connecticut nutmeggers moved west and sold nutmeg. They also sold some wooden nutmegs and were known as con artists. We're sure, though, that those were people who were really from Rhode Island passing through Connecticut out west.
There is also a great literary tradition in the state of Connecticut. The Connecticut Yankee, everybody will remember, the invention of Samuel Clemens, who wrote in and around Hartford.
That is correct, and lived in Nook Farm with Harriet Beecher Stowe. Right, their homes are right next to each other and provide two wonderful museums, as well as two other museums in Hartford, the Wadsworth Athenaeum, funded by Daniel Wadsworth, and he was a major patron, actually, of Thomas Cole, and that is in Hartford. It's a great visit to walk around Hartford to an antique carousel. I would just remind people that once you're in Hartford, you may not, under any circumstances, cross the street while walking on your hands. It's against the law in Hartford.
Uh-huh. How about that? We came up with a slogan for Hartford itself during that program, Hartford, you bet your life.
Hartford, you bet your life. That would be a very good one, mainly because of our history as, known as the Insurance City.
Well, thanks very much. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you for being here, and please come and visit us.
Ted Lindquist, technology coordinator for Farmington Public Schools, who served as our unofficial Connecticut state historian. He joined us today from his office at Irving Robbins Middle School in Farmington, Connecticut. We've put links to more information about Connecticut at the Talk of the Nation page at npr.org. Connecticut's state song. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.